Hi, you just made the right choice to listen to the Kingdom Move podcast with Pastor Roderick Ejekum. We hope you're inspired even as you make time to listen to this message.
Amen. But God is good, right? So I want to take you from a certain place. Amen. Psalm 11. Psalm 11 from the verse 2, I think 3. Psalm 11, 2 and 3. It says, "For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart." That they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. The next verse, verse 3 says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Foundations are very important. They are very critical to any building. Every building has some form of a foundation. Are we good? Yeah. I hope I'm right. The architect is here. I hope I'm right. Yes. Oh, the architects are here. A number of them are here. Amen. Every foundation, every building has some form of a foundation. Because the foundation will determine the longevity of the building. Because Bible tells us that two men build, and Bible says one was able to build to withstand the storms. And Bible called that person a wise builder, a wise person, because the person built with the storms in mind. Life, storms will come. Look at one, it says, in life, storms will come. Shake your person, says, in life, storms are coming. They are coming. Whether you like it, you pray for it, don't pray for it, they are coming. You may be in a storm right now. You may be coming out of a storm, or a storm is headed your way. Hey, are you in the house? Shake your neighbor, and say, neighbor, storms are coming. They'll come. Whether you like it or not, they'll come. Amen. Are we good? So life will bring their storms. And Bible says that the one who was able to build to withstand the storm, Bible called that person wise. And the one who was not able to build to withstand the storm, Bible called the person the fool. So as we are gathered here, there are two people here. Are you in the house? Ask your neighbor, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you the one that is able to build to withstand the storm? Ask the person, are you the one that is able to build to withstand the storm? Or you are the one that is not able to build to withstand the storm? Which one are you? Amen. So you have to know when you see some people are going through certain storms, they start crying. They start crying. I can't tell you. You have to know that. That's a what? That's a fool. Amen. No stress. You can just tell. That's a fool. Or you're seeing a wise man. Yeah. A wise man. Foundations are critical. They are very, very necessary. Is it one of the buildings in Dubai, one of the tallest buildings in Dubai? I mean, they have to go, they build on the sea. They have to go deep down. The foundation, they have to go deep down to look for a rock and place the building on. Because if you don't have a solid foundation, it doesn't matter the beauty on it. As some of the investment of the beauty on top is because you have a good foundation. Hey, are we good? Yeah. The investment you put in, say, building nice, they painted glasses and all, is because they are very certain of the foundation. Before you put beauty on yourself, you have to make sure you have a good foundation. Hey, am I making some sense? Before you put beauty and hang things on yourself, you have to make sure you have a very, very, very good foundation. Other than that, and the Bible here, the scriptures, they say, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous, in other words, one righteous man cannot undo the effect of a bad foundation. One righteous man or righteous man cannot undo the effect of a bad foundation. You see, when you look at the foundation, a lot of components come to play to make a foundation. A lot of things come, you have a stone, you have a sand, you have a cement. There are a lot of things that come together at the right mix, right fix, holds, and then it's a foundation. You don't have just a sand being a foundation. You don't have just a cement being a foundation. A lot of things. So it's a fact to say that the foundations of everybody, there are a lot of components that have come to place to make a foundation of a person. You get it? Hey, are you in a house? There are lots of things that come to play together that make up a person's foundation. As you're seated here, the foundations of your life is made up of your upbringing, your experiences, people you have met, some aunties, some cousins, all manner of people that have come into your life who have said all manner of things. Yeah. Hey, I'm making some sense. Yeah. Those you have believed, those you haven't believed, all of them come to play to make up your foundation. And the Bible is saying, if the foundation are not good, they are destroyed. If they are not well put, what can a righteous man do? And the answer is nothing. One righteous man cannot do anything. Once the foundations are gone, then they are gone. Hey. Now, here I'm talking about, let me zero in on the topic for today, that sex. The same way, the question we have to ask is, what are the things that have come to play to form our sexual foundation? Hey, your perception about sexuality. You know, my work as a youth worker, one of the things I came across is that a lot of people's first sexual encounters are with their cousins. Amen. Amen. Ask him, how far is your relationship with your cousin? Yeah. Yeah. If we can give this thing and collect statistics right now, it will surprise you what you find. So if your first sexual relationship with your cousin, you can imagine what forms your, what a foundation you have laid. Ask your neighbor, what the foundation have you laid so far? What a foundation have you laid? Ask your neighbor, what the foundation have you laid so far? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said, if a foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous cannot do much. I believe that one of the first work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to relay our foundations. Is to relay our foundation. Are you in the house? Is to do what? Is to relay our foundations. The only thing is that most of us are not careful. Let's look at Ephesians 5:1. Let's look at Ephesians 5:1. I'll show you. It says, therefore, be imitators of God. Yeah. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself as offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Verse 3. No, before this one. Give me, it's rather 1 Corinthians 3:10. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Before that, that will come last. Okay. Shall we read? What did I say? 1, 2, go. Let's go. It said, according to what? Which was given to me. As a what? As a wise master builder. What did I do? I've laid what? I've laid what? The wise master builder lays the foundation first. Paul said, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And I'm saying that the first work that God does, the Holy Spirit does in our life, is to rework the foundations of our lives. Whether it being sexual, he will have to go back down there to relay that foundation first. Amen. Amen. That's the work. But we ignore the callings of the Holy Spirit or the attention the Holy Spirit brings to us in our foundation. For instance, if you're in a relationship with a Christian girl who is okay with you having sex with her, she has a faulty foundation. If she's okay with you touching her breast, she has a faulty foundation. Now, that should tell you the cracks in their foundation. How much more you who are initiating it? So what does it mean about you, the two of you, your relationship? No cornerstone. No cornerstone. Now, can we be honest with ourselves? How deep are the cracks on our foundation? Yeah. And we have to be honest with ourselves. You see, God cannot work on what you are not honest about. That's one of the things. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. That's one of the works he does. When the Holy Spirit comes to your life, is to point to what is off so that you'll be willing for him to put it right. But when you are not honest about these things, you can carry them for so many years. You can carry them for so long. And sometimes my work, that's what I've noticed, so many of us are not honest. We are not honest. So what is happening is that we are trying to build on a faulty foundation. A Christian, are you in the house? Even culturally, fornication is frowned upon. Even culturally, it's frowned upon. So to get to a level where even a Christian, you practice it, it means there's something wrong with your understanding. I'm amazed I'm saying somebody. Yeah. There's something wrong. And we have to get to a place where we are open to God and say, God, this is how bad my foundation is. Some of us, we don't even have a foundation, Christ. It's the sand we are building things upon. Oh, are you in the house? Yeah. Hallelujah. Of first sexual distinct, class 5. There was this guy who was sitting in front of me. And that's because this guy was caught almost doing something, almost raping somebody in this. And the very act, yeah. And the funny thing is that it happened once and happened twice again. And both of them, when you ask, he said, I don't know why. He knows. But he's sitting in front, we've tried to look as innocent as possible, and says, I don't know why. Okay. So I decided to let's trace back to your foundation. In his house, from class six, maybe around 9, 10. That's the first time he had sex with the maid in his house. The maid was older than him. You know, when you are a woman, if you were a girl and the maid was a boy, they would have said that was a rape. But once you are the younger one that you're having that, sometimes people say, hey, Charlie, you be man, no. No, but what was happening is that he was being robbed of a certain innocence. And it didn't end there. The number of maids, maybe they've had about 5 or 6 maids, all of them have had sex with him. And how that is translated to him now having sex with men. The thing about it is, I know it is said that is it with the devil, all he needs is a crack. The devil that needs a wide space, a crack. Once you give him a crack, he's coming in with everything. So it may be that the first sexual encounter he had was with, like I said, a maid, innocent, but that was a crack into his sexual life. And that laid the foundation for his sexuality. And ever since then, he has been building on it. The many sexual encounters he has had. And he's a young guy. He's like, anybody sitting here? Could be anybody sitting here. Ask your neighbor again, how far, what's your foundation? How does it look like? Some of you, I can see from your face. I have a bet on some of these. No, but it's okay. Listen, the goal is not for you to be guilty. The goal is for you to come to a place of honesty. That's where it all starts from. When you live here and tell the Holy Spirit, relay my foundation again. Because that's what we're trying to do. Relay my foundation. Now, here, you see, when you are young, you think, oh, it's fun, it's nice, it's adventure. When you marry, you see that it's not fun, it's not adventure. Because you pick on a pattern that's about to follow after you. You see, when you lay the foundation, it determines what you build upon it. And your foundation cannot be corruption, cannot be sin, and you're laying righteousness on it. It doesn't work like that. Hey, am I making some sense, somebody? You just have to go back and say, God, rework my foundation. Rework everything according to the grace God has given to me. As a wise master builder, I lay the foundation. And other builds on it. Go on, it says, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. And that's verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. My firm belief is that most of us don't allow, and especially if you're here, you're a Christian, and you keep falling to sexual sin over and over and over again, I believe Christ is not your true foundation. You see, we fall in love with the idea of faith. We fall in love with the idea of religion. As some of us, sometimes we are even more in love with our pastors than we are in love with Jesus. Because Jesus, if you know something about foundation, there are border lines. It's a solid ground. You can't go beyond in some things. So if Jesus is your true foundation, you can't go beyond some things. Hey, am I making some sense? Am I making some sense, somebody? If Jesus is your true foundation, you can't go and be pressing breasts that don't belong to you. It doesn't. Hey, am I making some sense? The world, they are liberty because their foundation is not like that. But you, that you have a foundation, which is Christ, you can't do some things. We've gotten to a place where we are comfortable with sin. It questions whether Christ is truly our foundation. And tonight, that's why I came to challenge you. If Christ is truly the foundation, then some sins must stop. Hey, I can't. Are you in the house? Yeah. Some things must stop. It can't be. You can't continue on them. Pornography cannot be your lifestyle. Asuma, are you here? Yeah. Pornography cannot be your lifestyle. It cannot be your motivation. You're adult, so you have to take one. It's your energy drink. I know those who cannot sleep without watching porn and masturbating. Yeah. They can't sleep without porn and masturbation. Or when they are stressed, that's a run through. That's what you run through. It means that Christ is not your foundation. It's not your life source. It's not coming from there. Hey, are you in the house? Yeah. You can't be, see. Paul said, in this matter, let no man defraud his neighbor. And the matter is talking about sexual things. Let no man defraud his neighbor. See, when you are in a relationship, you are not to have sex with anybody you are in a relationship with. Because it's possible you're not going to marry the person. How many of us at class 5 we promise to marry somebody? Oh, GHS. All of us. Yeah, there are people that you say you're going to marry. GHS. High school, you made ring and all those. You have promised, you are sure of. Please, where are those people that you made the promise? Where are they? So imagine since then you started chewing people's children from that level in the name of marriage. But you say you are a fool. Will you want marriage? Somebody said we want vegan people. The vegans are the virgins. Hey, Jesus Christ, God have mercy. Are you in the house? Yeah. I want to tell somebody, you can't look. I said, ladies, are you in the house? Ladies, are you in the house? Sex cannot be a mark of love. Sex cannot be a mark. It's not how deep he loves you. As long as he abstaining shows how much he loves you. And the church went quiet. Abstinence is a sign that he loves you because he won't want to defile you before the time. Yeah, I'm not making some sense. It's a good place to clap. I know you may be gone, but there's a grace for you. It's only when you are talking about sex that people be laughing nervously. It's like how why can I laugh so I don't look so suspicious? Amen. Amen. But is it tonight? The goal is, when anything comes to sexual things, I always want to get to honesty. That's where I believe we are supposed to start with. When Adam sinned and God was coming, he asked him, "Where are you?" And the goal, didn't God know where they were? He knew. He wanted them to tell. He wanted them to be honest. So the goal often with sexual things is for people to come to a place to know, this is where I stand. Then you can appreciate grace. Am I making some sense, somebody? But let me be honest with you. In my work as a youth worker, the level of sexual sin is too high. I'm being honest. It's too high. It doesn't testify that Jesus is our foundation. It doesn't give a testimony that Jesus is our foundation. We've gone to a place where we are too casual with sexual sin. And it's only a mark and a sign that we are going to suffer in our marriages. Because most of us are actually entering marriages without trust. You think you trust, but you don't have it. You don't have it. Be up there and see your wife with somebody walking in the dark. Your heart will start pumping. Because as far as you know, you and your wife is in the dark. You used to do. When we were girlfriends, that's what you used to do in the day. So when you see shadows of this sin, that's what you see. Yeah, shadows of sin. Yeah, in the dark. That's what you see. So most Christians are entering relationship without trust. They think they do, but they don't. Even if she's the only person you're having those things with, I'm telling you, you have eroded all your trust. Because she is supposed to be the closest to you, and she's the one you're doing the worst with. So if she's the one the closest to you, you're doing the worst with, you can imagine everybody else. Because sometimes, I was talking about boys to men, sometimes the most difficult thing is to cancel Christian people. Because you don't know who they are. Because as they sit there, you can see that the foundations that are talking, when they are talking, you can't tell which people you are talking to. Because a casual approach to sin gives a look like they're not believers. Hey, I'm not making some sense, somebody. Yes. Are you in the house? Yes. Yeah. Unless you're not a believer. Yeah, maybe today you make a pact. You're not a Christian. Then you can go and fornicate. But if you're a believer, no. Our place is to make sure that we make it impossible for us to sin sexually. Oh, come and visit me. They are running like a gamma lizard. Your head like this. You know the person has just one room, one bed. No chair. Blue light on top. And then we are running. You see, Christians, one of the sad things is, listen, one of the sad and the most dangerous thing, the way we play with lust in our generation. And that's what I'm saying, that it's because you have a faulty foundation. You see, when somebody touches you, I know somebody has remembered when they touch you. Yeah. They touch more than your skin. They touch the person inside of you. Yeah. I tell guys, look, when you're in a relationship, never have sex with your woman. Do you know why? Because the minute you have sex with her, that's the depth you have taken her. Anybody that comes, you start with them from there. So you have taught your woman to be, even you've opened her to even be a prostitute. Because that is what you have told her what love is. the next person has to, that's where you left it off. So the next person has to pick it from where you left it off. Oh, am I making some sense to you? Yeah. So sometimes we are there, you don't feel love, you feel alone, and all those feelings you feel. It's because somebody has touched you, somebody has taught you what it means to be touched and all. So you can't be alone and be okay. So the words of God cannot comfort people anymore. Jesus' words can't comfort them. They need coffee to come and touch to add to the comfort of Jesus. All the comforting words, for I am with you. I can't feel God. I can't, you know. So most of you, your love language has said to physical touch. Are you in the house? Yeah. And it's because somebody touched us too early. And the touch they communicated something deep inside of us. The rest of what we are doing, we are trying to build on that one. That's why in accountability, I like to ask where it started from. Sometimes I point to some people, they don't get it. God must work on that side of you. And you have to be honest and yield that side of you. Other than that, look, I'm telling you, some people are going to get married and their husbands will not be enough to satisfy them. I read an article, the woman, what did she say? Said, she met this guy. This guy was, somebody that did something with. And after she's married, no matter how much the husband is nice, the husband is kind, everything, it's just not. And he met the guy again. Yeah, Lai Momo. And she keeps thinking about him. And she's calling for advice. Look, let's be honest. Some of you here, when you're married by the man who honors you, anytime you see your old boyfriend, something inside of you will move. Because he's still the foundation of your life. You remember the first person that kissed you? You still remember where they kissed you and what they told you when they look into your eyes. And the bedrock of your life. So I'm telling you, Elton, we are building on wrong foundations. That's it. Because I've said before, some of the questions believers ask, if you're a believer, you ask, can I kiss? Do you kiss your sister at home? No. Ask your neighbor, do you kiss your sister at home? No, ask the one next to you. Ask them, look at them in the face. Do you kiss your sister at home? When you get up in the morning and say, sweet sister, mwah, you do that. Some of you, your love language to your sister is insult. And then this one, that's your love language, insult. So that's actually the love language you express to the sister in the house of God. That's what, look, she's your sister onto a covenant. She's going to be your sister you can do other things with when you're married to her. Am I making some sense, somebody? But what you don't do with your sister, you don't do with another person's sister. Because the only relationship that can ever dwell between you and a girl until you're married is sister and brother. Hey, am I making some sense? It's sister and brother who are hoping they are dating. That's all. Sister and brother. At the point in time, the world started making us feel as if we are doing too known. But it's sister and brother. That's the sister, that's it. So sister is your brother. The only relationship that can be between two men is what? Brother and brother. You can't come looking for another thing. Brother and what? Brother. And brother. There's this story of this woman who was having, she's married a husband, they're having intimate time. And then all of a sudden, the man said he wants to go through another hole. You He wants to treat her like a brother. Are you in the house? And then the lady freaked out. He says, wait. She said everything inside of just left her. And then the next question she asks is, when did you start having such a desire? And they said, oh, it has always been there. It's just that. She said, hold up. Since when did this? With who? All of a sudden, the woman is insecure. At that time, she had written an article. She's thinking about divorcing. Because she said, I don't know him. She said, he has had a desire, but I was not giving it to him. So who has been giving to him? It's a mystery. I was telling Kolibu, sometimes all the roses and all those things and the chocolate is to blind you so you don't see who you are dealing with. That's the problem when you start with kisses and all those things. You can't see the person in front of you. You think you can see? No. You are just full of lust for them. You can't see them. When you are married, then the lust leave your eyes. Then you see what you are married to. Are you with me? As I said, some of these things, you have to tone it down. Tone it down. Ladies, don't demand, go take me to a hotel. For all you know, it's a snake you are working with. It's a cobra. Never be a cobra. Never be a cobra. When sad, once the roses and the this is, you can't ask the right questions. Because you don't want to offend. You can't ask the right questions. You don't want to offend. Hey, am I making some sense, somebody? Yeah. How many times have we had sex? Are some of the questions you want to ask? Now the place has gone quiet. Average when they ask them, how many times have you had sex? They'll cut it. They'll. So whatever number they give you, double or triple it. Because as far as they know, they are talking to a Christian. So they will... Now, if you have somebody who has had that level of sex, what is their appreciation of sex? What does it look like? Sometimes you read an article and a Christian is crying about the organ of the husband not being big. I said, so where have you been eating? He says that sometimes you can't even advise because where do you start from? Where have you been eating that you say this is not big enough? The one who started. I'm making some sense. If a small girl starts having sex with somebody who's matured at tender, it means that she's going to grow up with a certain appreciation of something which is always bigger than her. That's why you have to ask the question, who first does it? Who do, hey, and says, honey, but so, I have to be in my lane. Or she's gotten to a place where she has allowed the Lord to heal and transform her mind about what she should look forward to in their marriage. Yeah. I'm making some sense, somebody. Yeah. These are all very critical. I'm talking about the foundation and its effect. Foundation and its effect. Are you with me? And these things are very, very critical. They are very, very important because we are sexual beings. When you go to marriage, some of the duties you are going to perform is sex. It's a duty. When we read the Bible says, don't you know that your body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to your spouse? Yeah. When you address, you are going, it says, come, I don't think. Hey. And then you have to come, honey, I'm available for your service. So you have to go into the mind of the person and see what they are looking at.
Thank you and God bless you for listening to this message. Now you can get interactive with Pastor Roderick Ejikum on his social media handles. On Facebook, it's Roderick Ejikum. Instagram, Roderick Ejekum, and on Twitter at Roderick Ejekum. You could also get interactive with Christ for Youth International on Facebook. It's Christ for Youth International. Instagram is at ConnectCYI and on Twitter at ConnectCYI. This has been the Kingdom Move Podcast. Thank you and stay blessed.